Easter Sunday. All hail King Jesus. This song was all about Easter. I love it. I love it. On your way out, you can grab one of these. These are our invites. Pastor David mentions how, sorry. Wow, praise God. I might need some water, praise God. I've already drinking 3 bottles, but when I'm up here, something happens. Anyway, but what I want to say, thank you so much. What I want to say, grab one of these on your way out. This is going to be your way to invite people. It can make it really easy just to hand this off to someone as you're just talking to them. Just throw it in their bag, you know. So, yeah. We want you there. We want you there, okay? But also, we're asking you to RSVP for this Easter event. I was about to say something else. We want you to RSVP for this Easter event. Please take a moment and do that. What does RSVP do for you? This makes sure we have every room open that you need. We want to make sure we pull out all the stops for you and your family. So please just take a moment, go in there, and RSVP. There's no cost, but it just lets us know who's coming, what rooms we need to have open for the kids' ministry, and things of that nature. Can we give a round of applause to our dream team? If you are a part of the dream team, can you stand up? Come on. Come on, dream team. Let's give it up for them one more time. Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Take a seat. Thank you, God, so much. Being a part of the dream team is being a part of a winning team. What does this mean? Jesus came to win the lost. It says that when he came, like, what does lost mean? This means people don't know the truth about Jesus, that he wants to be good to them, that he wants to save them, he wants to set them free. When we sign up to be a part of the dream team, we're a part of the winning team. We're saying we are winning the lost. We're a part of bringing people to Christ and showing that light. Who wants to be a part of that team? Everybody. I know I don't have all the hands clapping yet, but by the end of this message, I'm hoping everybody's clapping their hands. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad you all are here today. I'll introduce myself and slow down. The first thing I'll say is I'm not Pastor David. And I'm not Pastor Summer. I can't senior pastor as them. They are the bomb.com. Let's give it up for our pastors. Love them. And I'm so thankful that they trust me to do this. So I'm one of our pastoral leaders, but I just support where I can. Wherever they say I can do something, I'll do it. You know, I ask for the mic to sing on Sundays up here. I was about to do a little bit all hail, and then I was like, never mind. I'm not going to do it. So I'm really thankful that they're trusting me to share the word with us today. And we're going to jump in. Are you all ready? Awesome, awesome, awesome. So first, let's pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you. You want to transform hearts today. You want to do something new in each one of us today. And so we speak a special blessing on this service. We speak that hearts are stirred and awakened to your good news and what you want to do in them and through them. Pastor David, amen. Pastor David preached last week. And when he was preaching, he talked about how there's this part in all of us that wants to get to a place of fulfillment. We want to get to this place where our life means more than just the rigmarole of everyday life. And is there anyone in this room today where it's just like, I've been going through the ropes. I've been doing life one way. I feel like I can get stuck in the everyday mundane. Do you know what I mean? What we're going to talk about today is how to break up that everyday mundane and come into a place of fulfillment. If you're needing fulfillment, I'm going to give you the key word for this message. It's going to be to serve. I know, you didn't believe it was that easy. You can go home. No, don't leave yet. I only get the mic only every now and then anyway. But the key word, serve. If you need purpose in your life, serve. If you need a breakthrough in your life, serve. If you're going through a tough time, serve. If you're going through good times, serve. This is how we come into that place of fulfillment that God's called for each one of us. But it requires us to go through a transition. And I believe our church is at this pivotal moment where we're all feeling a little bit of some growing pains. We're all coming into a little bit of transition. And so I'm going to highlight what that transition is today. So I feel like we're moving from connection for connection's sake to connection because purpose is at stake. Connection for connection's sake to connection because purpose is at stake. So I'm going to highlight that in this message title here. So the message title for us today is From Network to Net Worth. From network connection to net worth connection. Let's jump in and see what the scripture says, okay? So Luke 5:4-7, and it says this. When he had finished speaking, this is speaking about Jesus, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, everybody say, because you say so. One more time, say, because you say so. Okay. I will let down the net. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Wow. When I read that, you know, and when people have preached on this passage before, they highlight how there's this need for partnership. There's this need for the other boats to come around, that you can signal to someone and say, come and help. That is one message here. But the message that I saw when I was reading this scripture is, what if there was no net? What if there was no net? Would we even need to signal? We wouldn't be able to catch the fish. But what does fish mean, Candace? I mean, why are you getting serious here? We're just talking about fish. Well, let's just see what Jesus says. A couple verses later, in verse 10, he says, Simon, I'm asking you to switch professions. I'm asking you, just a few scriptures later, so we were in 4-7, so just three more down. He says, I'm now asking you to go from being a fisher, a fish, to fishing for men. So when we see that this net was full of fish, really it's saying it's full of people. And when we see that there's a hole in the net and someone slips out, that could be my brother. That could be your sister. That can be your uncle, your cousin, your aunt, your grandmother, your grandchild. That's the person who's slipping out of the net. So we have to get tight on this net worth. And we have to move out of just net work. Okay? So that's what I'm hoping we're going to do today. Now, Pastor David was actually, you know, talking about this when he was preaching last week, and he talked about it from the standpoint of going from like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and just this idea of Maslow came to this realization that self-actualization might not be the highest point towards the end of his career. He was like, what if there's one more level here, this level of transcendence? And for me, I'm a person who, if I'm gonna read anything in science or anything like that, I then have to go and cross it with scripture. So I'm like, okay, let me just make sure this checks out with scripture, because you know we're not doing anything crazy, right? Anybody? We write together? Okay. Okay. And I gotta start asking, because I was talking to someone and they were telling me they were doing tarot card reading. So I was like, okay, nope, let's fix that. Not doing that, right? And okay, this is what we're doing. Okay, so I gotta check. So when I went to check this out, One of the things I like to do is I like to use examples. So when I think about the example, I think about Jesus. What did Jesus do? He actually self-actualized on the cross. When he was doing the cross, when he was sweating the blood, he was saying, this is what I was here for. I still want this cup to pass, but I know this is what I was here for. So he's highlighting it can be hard to do purpose. It can be hard to sometimes do what he's asking us to do, but we're actually still supposed to do it anyway. He knew all along this is what he was going to do. Sometimes he talked about it and wouldn't even sweat blood. But this moment, when it's really close, that's when you feel it. And sometimes you all might be really close to a moment of like fully coming into our purpose, and that's when it's the hardest. And that's what I feel like he's inviting each one of us into. But when I thought about transcendence, like, okay, so he self-actualized on the cross. This song actually said it in there. They said it. They said he died, but then something happened. There was like this part two. I love in John 19, verse 30, he says, it is finished. When he's hanging on the cross, he said, it's finished. I'm done. Self-actualization complete. But that word, it is finished, actually translates to intermission. Intermission. There is a part two. And part two looks like kingdom. Part two looks like everything he was talking about leading up to the cross. So what does this mean? He had to self-actualize, but the whole time he's walking the streets, the whole time he's talking to the people, he's inviting people into something bigger than himself. He's inviting people to be a part of something that they can say, hey, you can be something bigger than yourself. I'm inviting you into this. And when I come back after 3 days, you and I can work together. So each one of us are invited to partner with him. Amen? Awesome. So how do we join this kingdom network? That becomes a question. And the first thing I want to do is I really want to try and make sure we differentiate between network and net worth. What's the difference? Just to make sure that we're sort of seeing those two things. So network, what is that, Candace? Good question. So this theme this month is to be planted. We are saying we need to be planted, we need to be rooted, we need to be grounded here. And really, this is the same thing as the network. We're really saying we need to be in a fixed position, a place, a setting. We need to be sticking, settling in. Is anybody feeling like they're settling in here at City? You're feeling like you're at home. Settling in might mean you found your good seat. You found that place where you can make eye contact with somebody and be like, hey, you're in a group, or just on your pew. You see them regularly, so you can be sticking on the pew. You can be building that connection in that community, or you can find it in a group. You can find that there. You could also find it through an argument. If you're having arguments with people at City, like, oh, I wasn't really comfortable with how they said that to me, you know, they didn't fully give me a full hug, whatever. Like, you know what? That means you're feeling at home. Yeah, that's another way of knowing you are home. Welcome. Welcome. And in this household of faith, like, we're not going to be perfect, but we say you belong before you believe. This is where you belong. If you're in this room today and you're saying, Candace, I don't know if I fully believe yet. I understand. Again, you belong before you believe. But he loved you with an undying love back then, and he's loving you now. We love you here today, and we're asking you by the end of this service, this can be your opportunity to say that I want to belong. I want to join the network. Amen? And then you could be in here, and you're saying, I've been coming regularly, Candace. I've been doing it. I got my spot. I'm here. But have you taken advantage of what it means to belong? Have you utilized all the resources? Have you started to bleed it a little? This is where we start actually finding the fulfillment that Christ has for us, is when we start saying, okay, I want to do a little more. Where can I get connected? Where can I get plugged in? In this, after this service today, there's gonna be a point where there's next steps. And this is gonna be your space where you can say, you know what, I'm ready to take that next step to really say, I need to move over into just connecting to recognizing what's at stake here. And I wanna be a part of that. Amen? Okay, so what does net worth mean? Okay, so how do we define this? In just normal terms, net worth means our assets minus our liabilities equals net worth. So how can I give you an example of that? Let me just try really quick, because you know, it's not my strength either. Hallelujah. So what is this? This is saying everything that adds value, anything that we can do that adds value, it can be a smile. It can be a high five. It can be my intellect. It can be building this amazing stage back here. Come on. Oh, come on. Give it up for them. Come on, yes. What people are doing online, yes. All of these things can be assets. These can be things where it's value added. But then we have to, and we have to lay those things before Christ. And then there's the debts, the liabilities. This is where we might have fallen short, where we might have messed up. Our past might be something that we're saying, hey, this is so big, it's actually making it really hard for me to think that I can even have something to bring to the table. Do you know what I did last night? Do you know what I did in the car ride home? I don't know, Candace. These are the liabilities. These are the debts that try and block us from thinking that we don't have a net worth. Or we're not net worthy. And what I love is Jesus and what he did for that man who was in a town, and he was covered with demons to the point where he had to go off to an isolated place alone. Not only did God set him free in an instant, he set him free, and then afterwards the guy says, let me go with you. Again, that's our normal inclination. Once we feel the love, we want to do. Once we've been won, we want to start winning. That's the normal inclination based off of this passage. So all of a sudden, he feels won. He recognizes that God has saved him. He says, I want to go with you. Let me know what I can do. Jesus didn't say to him, oh, no. You need to take like 19 classes, and then once you, you know, go through those classes, I need you to then transform and read the Bible inside and out, and then maybe, you, no. He says, he does though say, no, don't come with me. But what I love about that, why do I love this? It's because he realizes this man's been isolated for forever. He's now invite God saying, hey, go to your family, go to your brothers, go to your local community, tell them what I've done. You actually demonstrate the good news. I trust you to go and share this good news of what I've done for you here in your hometown, here in your local church. So as soon as he got his victory, he could then turn around and then be able to be a light to someone else. Each one of us has that same opportunity. You can say, today, I want to give my life to Christ. And in this same moment, you can say, I'm going to next steps. I'm about to take my next step. I'm about to figure out how I can get plugged in. What can I do? That's for each one of us. You might say, Candace, you don't understand. My debts are so big. They actually outweigh the hugs, the changing diapers, whatever I could do in the parking lot, whatever I can do, it's gonna outweigh it. There's no point. There's no point to it. If you have said yes to Christ, you have gotten the biggest asset that anyone could possibly have. He actually, He actually outweighs anything that we could have done wrong. He outweighs it. I really want to challenge us in here. We might need to divorce our debts. We might need to say, you know what, debts, you don't go with me no more. Go. I'm a new creation, right? And so some of us, we need to divorce our debts. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Christ lives inside of me. I get a fresh start. That kind of hope, that kind of expectancy, take those steps into next step. Amen? So how do we increase our net worth? I actually have a few points for this message today, and then I want to close out with a story from my personal experience. But really, I really want to help us think, how do we increase the worth of our net? How do we make sure that there's no areas where we're losing the fish? What did actually, in the Bible days, what did they do with the nets was the question I asked. So then we could sort of understand what we need to do in our hearts. What do we need to do in our souls? What do we need to do? So there were three things that I saw. And so you can write these points down now, but we'll come back to them, each one. But it says that he washed the net, they washed their nets, they mended nets back in that day. They also had to go out into a deep location so that they could work with their net. And then last but not least, they had to let down the net. So we're gonna hit each one of those points, and then we're going to end. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so the first one, wash our nets. Actually, right when Jesus is having this moment, what I love here, what I absolutely love, is that in this passage in Luke, it says that after Jesus got done talking, he said to Simon, go throw out your net. Now, right before, it says it in there that they were cleaning their nets. So what does this mean? They were multitasking. These people were multitaskers. They were listening, but then at the same time, they were also doing their everyday job. They were actually, you know, so what does washing your nets mean? And what did they need? Why did they need to do it? Because these nets were made out of cloth, they could be filled with debris, they could be filled with seaweed, and what could happen is they could rot. And then what could also happen is that they, you know, could wear out. And so it was important for them to take care of their nets. What would happen if those nets would rot? When I think of like dead man floating, right? If there's dead things caught up in this net, is it gonna sink? Is it gonna do what it was really designed to do? No, they had to constantly wash it, keep it usable, keep it flexible. I'm asking you all, what in your life needs to be washed? I'd say our minds. He says we need to be renewed by the washing of the water of the word. And that is what I am inviting each one of us to do. When we allow God to wash over our mind, renew our mind, we have this transformed kind of thinking that anything's possible. I can actually do this and this. I could start this business and do over here and help with the babies. I can do this and be a single mom, and I can also come over here and help in the parking team. It's like, oh my gosh, I realize there's something more I can do. But our mind has to be renewed to believing that there's something we can do. Now, what I loved, I actually was in a struggle. If we are willing to grow in Christ, we're gonna struggle at some point. I was in a moment in my life. It was a few years back, probably 8 years back. I don't know if that's a few to people, but anyway. But about 8 years back, I was in this moment, and I was at a birthday party. And one of our key volunteers in the coffee, who loves coffee? Come on. One of our key coffee volunteers, Dr. Cam, was at this birthday party. And I actually, because I was in the middle of my struggle, I think I even had a shirt on that said balance. And I'm like, God, I need to figure out how to balance my life. I need to figure this out. I know that there is a way to balance. You know, people do this all the time. They talk about, you know, find the balance. And I'm like, I'm trying to find it, King. And then all of a sudden I go and I talk to, I'm at this birthday party and I'm talking to Dr. Cam. And I'm just like, so yeah, you know, and he somehow, you know, God works in these networks, right? And so all of a sudden he just starts talking and he says to me, he's just like, you know, there was a season in my life I had two different practices going, sports, but like he had two different parts of what he did with the medical world, that he was running. He was also a coach with soccer. He has kids. He's got a wife. He's leading a small group. And I'm sitting there and my balance is like out of whack. I'm like, this isn't adding up. This isn't adding up. And so I'm sitting there like, okay, so what do you feel about balance? He said, Candace, it doesn't exist. This is a trick. And I was just like, you know what? This man still serves. To this day, he still is doing all that he is called to do. I want to challenge us, no matter what we feel like we've got on our plate, let's not let that word balance stop us from saying, God, I want to go all the way with you. I want to lay down my life for you. You laid down your life for me. I can find 20 minutes. I can find 45 minutes to serve. And that means somebody's uncle can get saved. That means somebody's auntie can get saved. I can make that investment. So we need to wash our mind. We've got to quit the stinking thinking. We got to see things as God sees it. There was a point when I felt a little sort of like tap on my shoulder of this scripture where it says, you know, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Candace, come up to my way of thinking. I want to encourage us, how are we thinking? Are we thinking God thoughts? Are we thinking level here thoughts? I'm challenging us, let's get our minds washed by the water of the word, and let's say, you know what? I'm not going to let some unhealthy thoughts or defeating thoughts or thoughts that say the opposite of I can do all things through Christ. I'm not going to let those thoughts stop me. I'm choosing to go in this direction. The next point, they had to mend the nets. Now, this is an interesting one. You mend nets because there's a hole in the net. There's two key ways that I believe we can get a hole in the net. A fish bit us. Someone bit me, okay? You don't understand. I'm dealing with some trauma. I need to take a step back. I've been hurt. You don't understand. The local church actually, you know, I got sucked on the boat and it created a hole. Candace, I'm good. I'm challenging you all. We've got to mend this net. This net has to be mended. When I was doing research on how do you mend a net, it's like, honestly, it's a weaving skill. I would encourage you, look it up. You know, but it's like this extreme weaving technique. They have different words in there. I mean, it was very cool. But what I realized is just that we have to really, like, we have that, to me, that represented this idea of being stirred. Are we willing to be stirred into good works? That's what I feel like I'm here today to do. And it's sometimes it's not a lot, it's not easy, but it's like, you know what? This is actually what he called me to do. I'm gonna do it anyway. Just like Simon said, because you said it, I'll do it. So we have to be pliable. Now, what I'd like to highlight here, we can't, in order to do this, there was nothing on the back. How do you do this? I remember, anyway, I did write it down, but anyway, but how do you do this, Candace? if there's a crack in the wall, actually in 1 Kings, they talk about how there will be cracks in the kingdom wall. That would be like holes, right, in a net, if we make a parallel. What they actually said is they said that hyssop would grow in those places, in those cracks. Hyssop would grow in those spaces. I'm asking you guys to take steps towards healing. Hyssop is a symbol of healing that God offers each one of us as a part of our salvation package. He actually says they're the same thing. Is it easier for me to say be healed, or is it easier for me to say be forgiven? It's the same thing. If you are saying, hey, I have a gushing hole about something in my life, God, I need you to heal me on this area. God, I need that hyssop to come into this space. He actually says, you know, he wants to strengthen the feeble knees. He wants to give us hope again. He wants to actually enlarge our tents. And that's something else that requires a hope. Some of us are saying, you know, does God really want all these fish, Candace? I mean, come on, we're fine with the size we're at. But no, he wants this net to grow. He wants the number of fish to grow. By the end of him returning, it says that he asked them to do this one more time. They had fish of every style when they caught that last fish, that last amount of fish as God asked them to. And so I want to challenge us, whatever, again, if you had that mindset, take that time and make that decision and say, I need to strengthen my net. God, I have a part in me that needs healing. I have a part of me where I need you to fill that space. Amen. Lastly, the last thing I want to challenge us with is we have to launch out into the deep. You can't, has anybody ever tried to swim in the low end of the pool? It's like impossible. It's like, the net can't go down in the low end. But what does it mean to go out into the deep? That means we're going into the unknown. We have to be willing to go past what's comfortable, go past what we know, and say, I'm going out into the unknown, and I'm doing this. I'm challenging each one of us. Let's go out into the unknown. Let's go out and see what God wants to do. And it's when we launch out and we put out into the deep, we go out into the deep, then all of a sudden, God can say, let down your nets. We've got to wash our nets, our minds. We've got to mend our nets, ask for healing. And then we've got to launch out into the deep, go out into the unknown, and then let's see what God wants to do. He wants to bring in a really big harvest. I want to share this last story and then I'm going to close. There was a season in my life where I was visiting my mom, and I felt to go on this trip to go and visit a church. And one of my family members who had actually been a little bit farther from Christ at this moment, he was just like, I'll go with you. So I was just like, okay. So we go. And what is this story about? This story is about the power of the small things. The things that you think don't add up to anything. So anyway, we go, we drive this distance. It's a fun story, I'll tell you later. The music's playing. Okay, next thing you know, we get to this church, and I told them, I had said, I was like, listen, you can go in jeans, chill, you know, this, you don't have to get dressed up, da 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 da. And came in a three-piece suit, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, so it's like, let's go. So we go in, and we're at this service, and I'm wondering, like, hope this person has a moment. I'm hoping that, you know, God touches him, God ministers to him. Do you know what God did? It was the strangest, specialist thing that could have possibly happened. He looked different than everyone there because of his color, because of his clothes. He stood out. But no one came and just gave him a prophetic word or, like, you know, tried to cast something out of him, said, can I pray with you? None of that happened. And I love that stuff. Like, that's what I love. Come to growing in the Spirit. But what did happen? Men, particularly, only started hugging him. One hug after another hug, after another hug, after another hug, after another hug, after another hug. And I'm sitting there like, is this, like, what in the world is happening here, God? And he's just getting hugged and hugged and hugged. Then we went to the night service, and this man came, put his arm around him, just sat with him. We got there early, get there early. And they got there early, and then they just hugged him. And I was like, it just looked like a father and son at a baseball game. It was just such a strange dynamic. We get in the car, and I said to him, I was like, hey, you know, he's like, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, right. I just start driving. And then as we're driving, he says to me, but if one more person gave me a hug, I would have broke down. There's something powerful in a hug. There's something powerful in a smile. There's something powerful in that high five, in that handshake. Whatever you have, I'm asking you, give it. It's going to make a difference. It made a difference for my loved one. I believe it can make a difference for someone else's. Who agrees? Amen? I'm gonna ask everyone to please bow your heads and close your eyes. If you are in this room today and you're saying, Candace, I need to choose Jesus. Actually, I'm far away from him and I need him to come into my life. If you are in this room today and you need him in your life, I'm gonna ask you to please raise your hand today. Amen, amen. I'm looking. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hallelujah. I see that hand as well. God came for you. God came for you today. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you all, we're going to all pray this prayer together, and then we're going to, I'm going to close this out. Just repeat after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the work of the cross and what you did on Calvary. Sets me free from my past. Thank you for my new journey with you. I love you and I'll follow you in Jesus' name. And then everyone else in the room, if this message resonates with you, could you please raise your hand? Amen. I'm going to just pray over you all today. Lord, we just thank you that you want to bring each one of us to a point of fulfillment. You want to change our lives from the inside out so that we can have a net worth that is helping so many souls come to Christ. I just speak life change for each one of us. I just speak that we wash our nets, mend our nets. We let you heal us. We let you set us free into the things you called us to. And we say thank you and we say yes to you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a couple ways that I want to encourage you to respond. There is the communion on those sidewalls, and then there's also prayer up here. I want to really encourage you, please come up and receive prayer. Let's see what God does for each one of us when we just meet him in these types of moments. And then everyone else, I'll meet you guys out on the other side. And if I don't meet you because you're in next steps, that's okay. Okay? So God bless you, and I hope you all enjoy the message.